Well, good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time you are watching this junior high. I hope you guys are all doing well. I hope you guys had a great Easter last week, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the life that we have in Him. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking with some students in a Zoom call, and they started asking some really deep questions like, you know what? What about people who've never heard about Jesus? Like, I'd like to share my faith with my friends, but like, you know, I'm always afraid I'm going to get one of these questions. I don't know what to do, what to say. And honestly, the reality is, I mean, there have been theologians and philosophers that have talked about some of these questions for ages, right? Why does God allow suffering and even bringing some of those into our modern world? There's some really tough questions out there right now. Like, you know, well, the Bible teaches this one thing about homosexuality, I think, but honestly, that seems kind of mean. And how do I answer? How do I talk to my friends about that? And, you know, and really, I think there can be millions of just like moral questions we can ask in our modern world, because, you know, the Bible says, yes, I shouldn't murder. Duh. Okay. I shouldn't kill someone. But there are so many other issues that the Bible doesn't say anything about. I mean, seriously, TVs, cell phones, cars, etc., didn't exist in Bible times. So there's no commandments about like, well, thou shalt only watch 1 hour of YouTube a day, but an hour and a half is too much. Well, Jesus doesn't address that because there was no YouTube in that day. And these questions kind of got me thinking, because I know these are like the real questions that you have to deal with on a daily basis in life. And how do we kind of address them? How do we unpack them? Because we have to live with some of these questions and the tension that they create. And as I was thinking through it, I'm like, I don't want to just like, well, here's what I think about screen time, or here's what I think about Star Wars versus Marvel, or something like that. But I really want to dive into some of the underlying principles that we need to think about, that we need to consider and really unpack as we kind of think about these questions. Because I guess this is what I mean. Okay, if I were teaching in junior high or senior high 25 years ago, I would need to address students watching television. But I wouldn't need to talk at all about looking at the internet or cell phones, right? Because those things, those technologies really didn't exist in a practical way 25 years ago, right? 15 years ago, maybe you could say the internet was added to that. And so, hey, as I'm talking, I need to talk a little bit about that and a little about the internet. But really, the internet then was only like, oh, don't do this on MySpace. You guys probably don't even know what MySpace is. And then, you know, maybe we're talking 10 years. It's really, honestly, been within the last 5 years that cell phones have become prevalent within middle school, okay? And you might think that's really crazy, but I've been doing middle school, I've been working with middle schoolers for a decade, and when I started a decade ago, almost no middle schoolers had cell phones. Oh, I mean, almost zero had them. And it was really only like 5 years ago that middle schoolers even started having cell phones. And so as I'm thinking about this, I'm like, well, what are the principles that are underlying that really apply? Because I don't know what you're going to have to face in 10 years from now, what the new technology, what our society looks like in 10 years. Shoot, if you had asked me like a month and a half ago if I thought any of this coronavirus stuff would cause this, I wouldn't have even predicted this. But what are the principles that we can look at that transcend time, that transcend technology and all that sort of stuff? The more I thought about this, the more I was talking to some students, it's really funny, because every question I came up with, eventually, Jesus was the answer. And I know that it just sounds so funny, and you know, I part of me like right now sees many of you like raising hood, Jesus, Jesus. You know, I'm about to throw out candy, and what's the answer? Oh no, Jesus, Jesus. I mean, Gogo would definitely be all about going Jesus for me right now, right? But in so many areas, as I really dig down underneath it, Jesus is the answer. And so that's what we're going to talk about in our series. Our series for the next several weeks is going to be Jesus is the answer. And speaking of answering questions, as we go along, if there are any questions that are really bugging us, you know what I mean? Serious questions, not questions like, did Adam have a belly button? You know, if you have a serious question, feel free to email me at AaronOsborne@RustinBible.org. Questions about the Bible, creation, is something right or is this right or wrong? Or I'm happy to cover them. Go ahead, shoot me an email on any of those things. I'm happy to talk about them. Now, today, what I want to start off and talk about is the issue of time. How do we spend our time? And I want to start here because, to be honest, right now, all of our normal rhythms have been messed up and thrown off, right? You don't have your sports practice. You don't really have to go to school. You kind of have to do maybe some online work. If you go to private school or homeschool, maybe you still got some stuff you're doing. But even that, the regular rhythms of school and activities have been all thrown off right now. I know a lot of you talking to you in your small groups, you're not going to bed at the same time as you used to. You're now like, I'm staying up till 2 or 3 and sleeping till noon every day. You know, for me, it's changed a little bit of my sleep schedule. I used to wake up at like 5:45 every morning. Now I wake up at about 6:45 every morning. I am sleeping in. But your rhythms are off. And now it's just a great time to kind of evaluate all the questions revolving around time and how we use it. The reality, too, right now is you have a lot of new free time on your hands. So what is that going to look like? Is it just going to mean, hey, I'm going to spend a lot more time playing video games, or I'm just going to sit around on my phone bored? Or is there something else that God would have me do with this time he's given? And I feel like there's a ton of questions that really come up in the back of my mind and a lot of people's mind as it relates to time. Like, why do my parents just limited me to 1 hour or 2 hours of screen time a day? Is the Bible opposed to screen time or video games or and things like that? You know, what does the Bible really even say I should be doing with my time? I'm just supposed to be sitting around all day and like praying and meditating on scripture and reading the Bible. And really, I want to kind of walk through some of these, but really, I think at the end you'll see the answer to all of these questions is Jesus. So that's what we're going to look about today. Let me pray for us, and then we'll dive into God's Word. God in heaven, I come before you just grateful and thankful for this day that you have blessed us with. I thank you for just the opportunity we have to look at your Word. And God, I do pray and thank you for the opportunity you've given us of just to pull back from our regular routines and rhythms. And I pray that we would take the time today and this week to really evaluate our time, how we use it, how you want us to use it. And I just pray you'd be really honored in it. In your son's name we pray. Amen. The primary text we're going to be looking at today is Ephesians chapter 5. And just for a little context, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Ephesians to the church at Ephesus. And Ephesians chapters 1-3 talk all about this, all about how awesomely God has blessed us, all the things God has done for us. I'm sure you hear me quote Ephesians 2 all the time, which talks about how we were dead in our sins and trespasses, but God made us alive with Christ and gave us life, and he has saved us by grace through faith, all that amazing stuff. So that's what's in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And chapter 4, 5, and 6 are all like, now therefore, this is how you should live. Because of all God has done for us, this is how we should now live our lives. And so that's what kind of the context is we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, okay? So starting in verse 1, Paul writes this. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So first of all, we see that the way that we should live is in this way of love, okay? As we talk about how I'm supposed to live, how I'm supposed to spend my time, I should be loving people, caring for people, sacrificing for other people just like Jesus. And now as I think about time and Jesus, I should be investing my time like Jesus and caring for other people like Jesus did. And I want to take a quick second to look at maybe some of the other lessons we can learn from Jesus about the way he spent his time. First thing you see about Jesus is that he regularly took time to go away and pray. And we see this throughout the gospel accounts. And the real challenge for me is if Jesus, the Son of God, you know, God himself, is here on this earth, and he finds it important enough to pray, then I'd be foolish to think that I don't need to do the same. If I'm going to follow his example, man, I'm foolish to think, oh, I don't need to do that. If Jesus needed to do it, I should be doing that too. And I know we use the excuse a lot. Well, I'm too busy. I just have so much to do. And especially when school is in, we just always going, I don't have time to read my Bible. And I just really challenge you. I think that is a huge, huge lie. We always say, well, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. The reality is, and we're gonna get to this later, you have the time for anything you want to have the time for. You know, I think, honestly, the coronavirus is really exposing a lot of that. You know, if I had asked you a couple months ago, hey, you know, are you reading the Bible? And you're like, no, I'm too busy. That's what you said. Now, my challenge for you is, are you reading it? Yeah. Are you reading the Bible now? Are you spending time with God now? And I think for most of us, right, coronavirus or no coronavirus, it's not changing the amount of time we spend with God. And I think that reveals that it's not a matter of do I have enough time, it's a matter of do I make it a priority in my life? Do I make it a choice? You might say, like, hey, what my schedule used to be, Aaron, is, oh, I got up, I ate breakfast, I went to school, maybe spent 15 minutes on my phone in the morning, then I'm in school till 3:30, and then I have a piano lesson at 4, and then I do my homework from 5 to 6, and then I, you know, eat dinner for a little bit, and I have volleyball practice from 7 to 9, I come home, shower, go to bed. I have no time, for anything. And my major pushback when people tell me, like, how busy and crazy their schedule is we choose that schedule. You chose to do piano, you chose to be on the volleyball team. In each of those, you chose and you made that commitment. Why am I busy a lot of times? Well, I chose to get married. I chose to work here at RBC. I chose to have kids. I've now made all of those commitments. What I want you to think through right now, especially in this time, is before you go and make that next commitment, as we will eventually pull out of coronavirus world and you start thinking about teams that you're going to be on and classes you want to take and, you know, maybe as you're going into high school next year, like, hey, do I want to be on the track to take all these AP classes? Before you make those commitments, think through how will it affect your time? Will it mean, hey, yeah, I'm going to be so busy. I don't have time to be at small groups on Wednesday night. I won't have time read my Bible and all those things. Second thing I see about Jesus as it relates to time is Jesus was never rushed. You never see Jesus like hurriedly going from one place to another. You're like, oh man, I'm stressed. You never see Jesus stressed at all. He's on his own schedule. He's on his own agenda. And I think for me and for you, my stress as it relates to time comes from, well, I know my parents want me to do this, my friends want me to do this, my teachers want me to do this, and honestly, I want to do this other thing, right? And we have all these other people that want us to do something, and then we have our own flesh that wants to do something else, and I'm stressed because I'm like, I can't get all of these things done. And Jesus here was never stressed because he just said, well, God, what do you want me to do? And I'm going to do that. Now, I would encourage you, you still need to honor your parents because they're part of what God wants you to do. But most of those other opinions don't matter right now. And you have the opportunity to say, God, what do you really want me to be doing? And invest in that. Third thing I learned from Jesus is Jesus was always really focused. Again, Most of my frustrations as it relates to time is because I don't get what I want to do. At least 95% of the time I'm mad is, or my mad or annoyed or frustrated is because someone is telling me that I need to do one thing and I'm not going to get to do the thing that I really want to do. And I think the reality for me and the reality for most of us is we are really selfish with our time. And as this verse in Ephesians challenged us, man, we're to walk in this way of love. We're to walk in this way of selflessness. And I challenge you, do I ever think through how could I use my time to love other people? Jesus always had this focus on caring for others. Am I thinking about how I can use my time for other people? All these questions like, why do my parents limit my screen time? Why can't I get my own phone? What am I supposed to do with my time? Look at how Jesus modeled his life. Jesus is the answer to those questions. He modeled his life in that of sacrifice. Jesus is the answer. The last point I want to mention about the way Jesus lived is that Jesus knew about eternity. You know, he makes it really clear. He's like, hey, my kingdom isn't of this world. I'm going to go away and then come back and bring you to eternity. He knew his time on earth was short. And he's always pointing people to eternal life. People are always like, hey, give us some bread now. And he's like, hey, I got this eternal bread I want you to give you. I want to give you eternal life. And they're like, can I get some bread now? No, he's always pointing them to eternity, eternity, eternity. And we waste so much time trying to get stuff here instead of investing in eternity. Looking back at Ephesians 5, down in verse 3, it says this. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which is out of place, but rather thanksgiving. We're going to talk about this more in future weeks. But here, Jesus doesn't say, or Paul, who's writing in Ephesians, doesn't say entertainment is wrong. Paul never writes going to the theater, which they had in his day, is evil, right? But he says if it results in sexual immorality, greed, that is the problem. The way it impacts you is a huge problem. And we're going to talk more about that in future weeks. And I guess my point here is God isn't like video games are evil. God doesn't say video games are evil. How they might be affecting you, that could be a really big issue. And then he goes on and he's talking about the deeds of darkness, because everything hidden and in darkness is going to become visible. Basically, he's saying nothing is really hidden from God. God knows everything. And so you can't hide anything from God, right? God knows everything you and I do. And because of that, he says this in verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What he's saying here is because everything is going to be exposed, everything is going to come out into the light, you should be wise, right? He's saying, if you know your mom is going to walk into your room, you should probably be working on cleaning up your room, right? That's would be the wise, smart thing to do. If you know your dad is sitting right next to you, you might not go to that website, right? That would be foolish. Knowing that everything you do, God sees, God knows about, what's the wise thing to do? You know, and he, again, thinking about the way you live, the way I spend my time, Jesus is the answer. Because if Jesus is hanging out with me, would I be okay with that? Would I be comfortable with that? And next he says, make the most of every opportunity. And the point I want you to see from that is this. It may feel like this whole coronavirus quarantine stuff is going to last forever. But the reality is it won't. It will end. I don't know when it'll end, but at some point in time, we will get back to a relatively normal life. I was going to say normal life, but I don't know. I don't know exactly what it'll look like, but this will end at some point in time. And the question when it all ends is will I look back and say, you know what, I just survived coronavirus? Or will I say, no, I thrived in that time? In all honesty, a temptation I face a lot of mornings when I wake up in this whole coronavirus day and age is I just don't want to do anything, right? I just want to be lazy. I don't have the motivation to do it. I know there are lots of other people that they're just, you know, chilling, playing video games, watching Netflix, exploring some new hobbies, and I just want to do them. And daily I need to say, no, you know what, Lord? What do you want me to do with my day? How do you want me to invest it? And I think there are people that God wants me to invest my time in and call them and reach out to them. And I don't want the junior high ministry here to just kind of survive the next however many weeks, months it is. But I want you to be able to thrive in this time, right? You know, Jesus talks about in John 10, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have life abundantly. Jesus wants us to live something greater than just kind of, hey, I'm alive. He wants us to thrive and really experience life in this. I need something for myself, and we'll talk more about this in a minute. I constantly want to push myself to be learning new skills, to be growing. I've got these different things I want to figure out, and I'm pushing myself to do that. Or am I just kind of surviving? Last verse we'll read out of Ephesians 5, looking down at verse 18, he says this: "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I'm hoping none of you have ever been drunk. I haven't either. I've been around plenty of people who have. And what you see by them is they are controlled by alcohol. It's called being under the influence for a while, for a reason, excuse me. Because the alcohol is influencing, changing, affecting, and controlling a lot of their actions and behaviors. And he's saying, instead of, you know, being like that, we should be controlled by the Holy Spirit, where it is controlling our actions and influencing our behaviors, our decisions, our feelings and emotions, all of that stuff. And the result of it is this joy. I'm singing songs of praise and this thanksgiving that flows from it. And you see kind of the conclusion that Paul is making here about how I spend my time. All those questions about what do I do with my time come down to Jesus. I'm controlled. I'm directed. I'm led by Jesus. He's the one guiding and directing me how I use my time. And that's why he said back in verse 17, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He wants us to be doing things. Understand what His will is and follow Him in that. The answer is Jesus. Time is, if you don't choose how to spend your time, someone will choose for you. See, there are a million things that want you to spend your time with them. You know, every video game is designed to get you to spend more time playing that game. Right? They're like, even after you beat the game, it's like, well, try it on this harder mode, right? All the, like, you know, games on your phone, they always come up with new levels and new this, new that, because they want you to spend more time playing their game. The goal of all the TV shows, YouTube channels, why do you think all the YouTube people are like, and subscribe to my channel? They want you to spend more time watching their videos. And I understand that you have to go to school, that's kind of important. But a lot of the other stuff, you choose. And I'd really encourage you to sit down with your parents, right? And talk through, okay, mom and dad, once this coronavirus stuff ends, is there some different way I should be spending my time? I don't want to go back to the same pattern of a busy rush and we're going here and going here. I actually maybe kind of like a little slower pace of life. Can we talk through some of my commitments that I'm going to make? Can we talk through how I want to choose how to spend my time and actually make a choice on how to spend your time rather than just everything I've just always done? Because all those things I've always done have just always made these choices for me. I want to take back my time and figure out, God, how do you want me to use it? Now, I want to brainstorm with you for just a minute here. What are some of the productive things you could be doing with your time, right? Again, you know, if you're a public school kid, I'm just being real, you're going to have like some level of school and education for the rest of the year, but if you actually put your mind to it, it's only ever going to take you a couple hours a day. You will have a ton of extra time if you put your mind to it. Homeschoolers, I know you guys are going to end the first, second week of May anyway. So summer is coming. So how are you going to spend that time? Well, a few things I'd encourage you in, right? First of all, is there some new talent, new skill, new something that you want to explore? Whether it's, hey, you know what, I really would like to work on playing the guitar, the piano. I want to learn how to solve a Rubik's Cube. I want to learn how to bake. I've been exploring a lot of time baking bread, cake decorating, computer programming. I want to learn a new language using Duolingo or something. You know what, I'd be curious how to garden, right? I want to grow a bunch of tomatoes. Maybe I can sell them to people. You know, shoot, I'm going to have some extra time because we probably can't go on vacation. Is there a summer school class I could take to make next school year easier? If you're an eighth grader, kind of, you know, hey, I'd like to take a class over the summer to make my freshman year easier. And now you may need to put some work into how to pursue these skills or talents. Maybe it's some new YouTube videos you need to watch. But if you remember back to this series that we did earlier this year on why did God make me? The first thing we talked about is that God created us to reign and rule. God wants us to use our minds. And part of the way we worship God is learning about his world, is figuring things out, is developing skills and all these things. Any of these like skills that you can develop and take time to explore, that's part of reigning and ruling that God wants us to do. And so think about, okay, God, what's a new skill that maybe I could explore in this time, right? Sit down with your parents and ask them, talk to them. I guarantee if you go to your parents and say, Mom, you know what? I want to do something in this time other than just waste time on my phone or on screens or just bored in my room. You know, Mom, can you help me figure out a hobby? Can you help me figure out a new skill that I should learn? You know, I guarantee your mom would love to help you with that. Your dad would love to help you with that. Ask him for some suggestions. If you need suggestions, email me. You know, and it might take some financial resources. So, hey, Mom, I know we're getting every person's getting the financial stimulus. Could I use $50 of the financial stimulus you're getting because I'm your kid to, you know, invest in something? Realize these talents and these abilities that's a gift that God has given you. He wants you to use your mind. And I would hate for us to leave this time of quarantine and saying, well, all I did was, you know, I got to this level of my character in Minecraft or Fortnite. I binge watched another season of Netflix or whatever. But to say, no, you know what? This is something I learned during this time. The second thing I'd encourage you in is to really take the time to invest in other people. I hope you enjoyed and able to participate on Friday with our Friday junior high hangout that we had. I'm hopefully going to try to do more of them. But I just encourage you, things like that are things you can initiate too, right? It doesn't just have to be me initiating. If you need someone's contact information or one of your friends' contact information in the youth group, I can help you out with that. You can have your parents send me an email or you can email me. But you know what? Spending time with people matters. There's a lot of lonely people out there right now. And if you take I think so many times we just wait until someone else initiates with us. Well, I'm not doing anything because no one's initiating with me. Take the time, initiate with them. You know, try to reach out to them. Hey, can we play this game? Can we do something together online? Specifically as it relates to video games, I very rarely play video games by myself anymore. It's almost always with friends. I looked at my Fortnite statistics, and in this season, it's over 98% of my gameplay has been with people. Got a really cool squads win with Caleb and Lucas the other night. But your friends need you, and taking that time to initiate with them, initiate any activity with them, anything, any conversation with them, Google Hangouts with them, anything, that just means so much. Take that time. Third thing I'd encourage you to do is invest in your family. I know this is hard, but this is a really unique opportunity that you will have with your family. And you can either leave this time and just saying, I can't stand him, I'm bitter with him, I'm annoying, blah, 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 blah. Or look for ways to say, you know what? What is something fun that I could do with them? You know, you got your younger brother, younger sibling, younger sister, older brother, older sister. Hey, is there a game I could play with them? Anything I could do? And don't just pick the things that you enjoy. What's something they enjoy? And I'm going to invest in that. I'm going to do that with them. Right? Even if I might find it a little boring or tedious, that's what they really want to do. And so I want to invest in that. I'm going to put their needs first. I want to invest in my relationship with my parents. Be like, Mom and Dad, is there something I could do with you? You know, Dad, I know you need to do some yard work. Okay, I'm willing to do that yard work with you. willing to do some cooking with my mom or my dad or, you know, do some of the chores with them because I just want to hang out with you. I want to get to know you. I want to ask them questions. Ask them about their childhood. Ask them anything. Just talk to them, right? And, that simple investment, man, is just so, so cool. And you can leave this time and say, hey, you know what? That was really neat, the way that I deepened my relationship with my parents. The last thing I would say, last thing I would just encourage you in is this. If you don't make a plan for what you want to do during this time, it's not going to happen, okay? If you just wake up every day and say, well, maybe I should do something. I don't know what that is, but maybe I should do something. Nothing is going to happen. And you'll end this time and you'll be like, what did you accomplish? Well, again, I played some Minecraft and I watched some Netflix. Like, that's all I got done. You do need to plan. Maybe part of that plan is I need to set a bedtime for myself. I don't want to be going to bed at 3 a.m. every day and sleeping till noon. Set a time where I wake up every morning and say, Mom, could you get me up every morning at, 8:30, 9 o'clock, whatever time it is, but get on some sort of schedule, some sort of routine, make a plan. And again, I'd really encourage you to sit down. The maturity it would show your parents if you sat down with them and said, Mom and Dad, I feel like my life is a blot right now. Can you help me make a schedule of some things that I should be doing and how I should budget my time? Your parents' minds will go, and they will like sing praises from heaven. But if I don't schedule things, they don't happen. I want to end our time together with this. As I was writing this message this morning and just kind of meditating through on things, I realized that I was wearing this undershirt, and it says, keep the Joe alive, okay? And these shirts were made in honor of a former student that came up through this youth group. His name was Joe DeWitt, and he was in our youth group, probably 10 years ago, and then 4 years ago yesterday, he passed away. And I had the shirt on, wear it every year on April 15th and wear it other times too. But it's, I had it on and as I was writing this, and it just made me stop. It made me think about him and his life. I doubt any of you have ever met Joe. If you were part of Awana, the annual Clubber of the Year Award is named in his honor. But this concept that we're talking about today, of just using his time well to invest in other people, to invest in things that matter, to invest in God's word, to invest in things that last. is something that I think Joe did really, really, really well. He knew from a young age that there were only a few things that would last to eternity. And that's God, His Word, and the souls of man. And he spent his life really investing well in those things. He was like, man, you know what? God's Word's going to last, and so I want to know it. And the reason why the Awana Clubber of the Year is named after him is because he just spent a ton of time memorizing Scripture in God's Word, and that was a characteristic of his life. He spent a ton of time caring for people. He would always be thinking of creative ways to encourage other people and making people feel special. And there's, you know, just his memorial service, just all these people, like, this is how Joe affected my life. This is how Joe affected my life. This is how Joe affected my life. Why people would even make these shirts about keep the Joe alive. It's that personality to really care about other people. It's something that he really did well. You know, I think Joe really lived his life well. But the reality of Joe's life is his senior year of college, he very suddenly passed away from a heart condition that he had. His life, by the world's standards, by what you and I would typically think of, was cut short. And honestly, there's a lot of times I'm like, God, I don't get that, man. But Joe, I think, really lived out this principle that he made the most of every opportunity. He did not have the same number of opportunities probably all of you will have. His life was cut short, but the life that he had, he made the most of every minute of it. And a reality that we all have is our lives are short. Even if we do live to be 70, 80, 90 years old, in comparison to eternity, our lives are incredibly, incredibly short. I know when I was a student, I would think, man, a month, oh, that just seems so long. I can't believe it long. And now I'm like, a month, you know what? That's really not that long at all. Shoot, a year isn't that long. I've gone through some really hard things that have taken years to come out. I'm like, it's not really that long. Our time here on this earth is really, 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 really short. And my encouragement to us is, are we investing that time that we have in a wise way in things that matter? Jesus, in the same way, he only lived till he was about 33. He really only spent about 3 years of his life doing ministry. But in those 3 years, he accomplished so, so much. His time was short in kind of our standards and our perspective. But he did so much because he was just doing what God wanted him to do. And I think, as I really stop and think, okay, God, what's your perspective on time? God always points me back to, look at how Jesus spent it. Look at what he invested in. Are you investing in those same things? And I just really encourage you, you got the time right now. What are you investing it in? What would Jesus want you to invest it in? Let me pray for us. God in heaven, we have life because you've given it to us, Lord. Not because we're good, not because we've earned it, not because we're amazing, but because you have been good and faithful to us, Lord. You chose to die for us. And we just come before you and give you thanks and praise for that, Lord. And God, because you have given us life, Lord, I pray that we would now just invest our lives well in things that matter, in what you would have us invest in, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that we would stop and really take stock of our time and how you would want us to use it, Lord. God, you know, as a starter, yeah, hey, God, this is the time I want to spend with you. This is the time I want to spend investing in others and serving others. These are the things that I want to grow in and learn and explore, Lord. God, I pray that we would really take stock of that, and we wouldn't just be doing what we've always done and just, well, I'm in this activity, I do this just because I always have, but really think through what it is you would have us do, Lord God.
Would you give us wisdom? Would you give us insight to how you would have us, how you would have us grow, how you would have us learn, how you would have us use this time that you've given us, because it is a gift from you and it is a limited gift that we have. God, may we be wise in it for your name, for your honor, and your glory. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
See y'all next week.